broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for 9/11. Yes, indeed. September the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers are absolutely brilliant. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir. All right, we'll grab Kurt in a minute. Our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us as well. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
All right, let's start this off by saying that the mainstream press needs to be reporting right now better safe than sorry. They also need to report that they kind of missed the mark on this one. The governor of Florida and many news outlets reported this literally as kind of an Armageddon moment, if you will. The storm was going to be the worst they've ever seen in history. And no doubt Irma was bad, but it's not even close to what they said it would be. Hurricane Irma weakened and downgraded to a Category 1 storm now. They say it's just north or west of Tampa. They say wind and lots of rain leave more than 5.7 million without power. It did knock a crane down in Miami. Business district is flooded, branches down, trees down everywhere. A few people got killed in Tampa. Now they say that the wind has passed, but they're waiting for the surge to come back to see how bad it really is. No doubt it's been devastating big time, and it's going to cost a lot of rebuild money, but it's not even close to as bad as they've made it sound in the media. Now, I get the evacuation. I get their warning to prepare, but at some point it's kind of one of the most mammoth shift of people in history. It's one of the biggest evacuations ever ordered in U.S. history, folks. They say 6.3 million people, more than a quarter of the people in Florida, were evacuated or moved. Many people weathered out the storms in their homes. A lot of people are saying they dodged a big bullet. Others are saying there wasn't a bullet to dodge. It was media hyped in the first place, out of proportion, out of reality. Now you say, Sam, you don't know what you're talking about. And my response is I've got four personal close friends that all live in Central Florida. Some are in Northern Florida. I have one guy that lives right outside of Tampa, another guy that lives in Tampa. And I've got some other folks, and all four of them, I've talked to all of them today, and every one of them says, Sam, it's not even close to as bad as they're hyping on the media. Yes, it's bad. We're all out of power. Yes, winds are crazy. Yes, there's a surge. Yes, there's flooding. Miami's got it rough, but they're all saying it's way overhyped, and I've talked to every one of them on their cell phones, and everybody says they're fine. What do you think of that, Lowell?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me that the mainstream media hypes something more than reality, because that tends to be how they treat every subject, whether it's a a murder, whether it's a burglary, whether it's just a business down or something like that. They want to sell news. They're in the business of selling news, because so they have lots of people wanting to advertise on their shows. I mean, it's a money-making, it's a business opportunity. And so it doesn't surprise me that they really hype something more than reality. But so would you say then that Houston was worse than they reported, and that Irma is less than what they reported then?
That's hard to say. Again, I hate to be an armchair quarterback as if I was there, because I haven't been to either location. I would say that's generally accurate, but I would be hesitant a little bit to say, weather forecasting has always been tough.
Yeah.
And you know what? Predicting is always a tough game. In fact, in Texas, the governor said bail, the mayor said stay, And the governor turned out to be right. But again, and that's why I don't criticize the media for the overhype. They had no idea how bad it would be. Judging from some of the islands that got beat, the storm was really rough. You know, they say the storm hit land in the United States a couple of times in Florida before it kind of went to the center of the state, and kind of went up the middle a little bit, which would slow down the storm significantly. So I guess what I'm saying is that it's easy to be critical. I'm not being critical about their reporting, about the evacuation, about the hype. What I'm being a little bit critical about now is, look, the top of the hour news, a 5-minute newscast, so with a 1-minute commercial, so 4 minutes of news, and they literally hardly spent any time on the storm at all, and they still made it sound like it was horribly bad. They need to come back and say, guys, we dodged a bullet here. This is way overstated. Yeah, there's devastation, but it's not near as bad as it could have been. That's what all my friends are saying, and they're all living there. They were, one of my friends is a guy who lives in Tampa, and he said, hey, when we thought it was going to go up the East Coast, we didn't evacuate. Now it's too late. We can't evacuate. We're buttoning down the hatches or buckling, and we're going to do our very best and weather this out. He was very paranoid yesterday. Now he's come back, and he says, look, I walked outside. It was peaceful. Yeah, there's tree branches down. We're without power. We've been without power since midnight, but you know what? Everybody's experiences are about the same as mine. And so I don't have a problem with the reporting, because look, you don't want to be, you do want to be safe rather than sorry. You don't want to be like, we told people they didn't need to evacuate and now there's a bunch of dead people. I mean, you don't want to be that way. So I get the over-reporting. What I don't get now, though, is the acting like it's still that bad, or the unwillingness to say, hey, better safe than sorry. Why not just admit the truth all the way through? Now, it's true there are 6+ million people without power. Let's not pretend this was just like fun and games. It was a brutal storm. I'm not denying that. But they almost want you to believe the whole state of Florida is gone. Armageddon time. And it's not even close to that bad. Say 4 personal friends that I know in Florida, every one of them was able to contact me on their cell phones. So I'm just telling you, it's bad. I'm not denying that, but it's not as bad as they're claiming at all.
Well, I'm encouraged to hear that. You know, Category 1 storm is, I think, like 100 miles per hour wind or something like that. So even if it was downgraded, I know it was a Category 3 and then it downgraded to a 2, and now you're saying that it's clear down to a Category 1, and maybe those are winds of maybe like 65 to 95 miles an hour or something like that. Still, you know, for a landlocked, for a fellow like me who grew up in landlocked Idaho and is living in Utah, you know, I've never experienced a hurricane. I have to tell you, Sam, I'd never experienced an earthquake either until I went to Japan for a couple of years serving an LDS church mission there. And I was so excited, believe it or not, to actually experience an earthquake for my very first time. I laid down on the tatami mat just to soak in every jiggle and quiver and tremble of the earth, just because I was so excited to actually experience one. Of course, that's crazy to be doing that, but, you know, I'd never experience one. If I was near a hurricane, I'd probably be out there smack in the middle of it to try to experience it, which is absolutely foolish. But I'm just illustrating how little I know about hurricanes, earthquakes, and tornadoes.
And I don't know a lot about all of them either, but I do know quite a bit about natural disasters. I grew up in California. I've experienced several earthquakes. The huge earthquake in Oakland, California, I was literally there when it happened. And I was involved in the cleanup for several weeks after the event. I was intimately involved in that one, so I know quite a bit about that. I have been in a tornado before. It jumped over my hotel and slammed the next hotel over,
wow,
causing all kinds of damage and a couple of deaths. So I have experienced a little bit of that. So I know this stuff isn't fun, and I get the fear. I get the mind-numbing paranoia that people have. I get that after that, the light goes out of people. People don't believe there's any hope and stuff like that, and they kind of wander around aimlessly. I get all those things. I get the massive cleanup efforts. They're not a pleasure cruise by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm telling you, the mainstream press needs to come out and say, look, this was bad. It isn't fun. I'm not telling you that it was good, but I'm telling you that it's not as bad as they claim. Let me give you an example. A sheriff is reporting now and saying, hey, man, y'all don't be shooting your guns at the storm now. It ain't going to turn it back. It ain't going to do no good. So literally there was a guy that put on his Facebook page, hey, get out there and fire your gun at the storm. And he was joking, right? But a lot of people took him seriously, and there was like hundreds, thousands of people that were getting ready to go out there and simultaneously shoot at the storm.
Oh, man.
Okay, this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. It's like, hey, this is not a time to joke. This is serious business.
Sam, it occurs to me that people are so disconnected from God. Let me just be blunt about it. We tend to be so disconnected from God that we don't recognize when nature does something like this. We fail to rely on Him. I think if more people were to rely on Him and place their faith in Him, then they wouldn't be depressed. They wouldn't be.
Let's come back and talk about that, because I think you've hit on the critical point. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Lone Nelson with us. CampaignForLiberty.org.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Now, some people say that Irma and Harvey and some of these storms are man-made. I'm not buying that, folks. I know that there seems to be folks that have this evidence and stuff, and I've seen a lot of it. I don't agree with it. I believe that man may tamper with weather. There's a lot of patents relating to weather modification. I get all that. But I don't believe they're to the point where they can literally manufacture a storm that big and then control or steer where it goes. I just don't believe it. I do believe God's in charge of the weather, and I do believe He punishes people who turn their back on God, and I think to a great degree, the turmoil and the storms and the earthquakes and the hurricanes and all that relates to a lot of the fact that the people, the children of God are wicked. Now, I'm not saying the people in Florida or Texas are more wicked than anybody else. I'm just saying that we do see these type of punishments from God in an effort, really it's an act of mercy by God to turn us to Him, because at some point it becomes too late for a society, a civilization. And so I look at this as almost a tender mercy. That's what you were about to point out, Lowell.
Right. I believe it's a blessing. You know, a lot of people have the mistaken notion today that man can control everything, his environment, the weather, and because of this sense that man's in control, people are troubled and disturbed that, hey, you know, this hurricane, I can't control it, right? And they fail to realize that man really is nothing compared with the awesome power and majesty of God and the elements, the earth and the planets and so forth. I mean, when a person gets a sense of that nothingness, back, several weeks ago when the solar eclipse occurred, when these giant bodies in the heavens moved in spectacular fashion in their majesty, and one could actually literally feel the temperature difference drop, you know, like 10, 15 degrees when the moon came in front of the sun. And to see these heavenly bodies moving with such magnificence and such majesty and such greatness, you know, in size and scope, and, you know, one gets the sense that, you know, God is so powerful. I mean, to put all of these things into motion would have required tremendous energy. Now, and a hurricane has tremendous energy, but you're right, you know, faith in God is what can encourages people to stay strong no matter what, no matter if the weather's bad, or if, you know, a traffic accident and somebody gets hurt. I mean, no matter the circumstances, if you put your faith in God, then you tend to be encouraged in all of these circumstances instead of discouraged. And if people are getting their guns and they're shooting at the storm, that is an act of desperation where, you know, that's evidence that they have given up. They says, you know, we're just going to give up and die, right? I mean, and that's evidence that a person really lacks faith in a supreme creator. And I find that very disappointing, Sam.
Now, I am told that the whole Trump White House bowed their heads in prayer before a meeting regarding Harvey and Irma. And I find that encouraging.
Yeah.
I find that encouraging that people are helping people. And you mentioned that a friend of yours was talking about this idea that, hey, you know what? The media is so negative in some of these events that have occurred that, man, the media is being forced to report the good people are doing. I like that, too.
Well, you know, I agree. I kind of think that maybe God allowed Hurricane Harvey to hit Houston to counter the bad news that was circulating from Charlottesville, Virginia, right? I mean, if we go back 2 or 3 weeks, All the mainstream news could talk about was the fighting and the unrest and the hatred between various groups that originated in Charlottesville. Charlottesville being the epicenter of this this horrific rift in the people of the United States, right? And then along comes Hurricane Harvey, hits Houston big time, and all you could hear about, all the mainstream could talk about, because they were forced to talk about it, was the goodness of people helping one another, sending relief, donating dollars to the relief of their fellow men in Houston. And so,
for example, the J.J. Watt Fund, Harvey Relief Fund, now is up to $30 million in private donations, to make your point, Lowell.
That is so fantastic. And, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about a little bit later is the impact of government aid and contrast to the private aid. I'm so delighted with the private donations and the private relief efforts that are being made in behalf of the people of Houston and certainly will be also for the people of Florida in the coming days, weeks, and months.
Anyway, our prayers go out to folks. The main point we want to make here is that, you know what, the media's got to tell all sides of the story and tell about the good people are doing and not just divide, manipulate, and everything else. And sometimes these storms bring people back to the truth, bring people together, bring people to God. We love every bit of that. By the way, did you hear about this couple? Guy's name is Harvey, and his wife's name is Irma. Their last name is Schluter, and he's 104, and she's 93, and they've been married for 75 years, buddy. Did you hear about those guys?
No, I hadn't heard about them. That is wonderful.
Anyway, so there is some good coming out of Harvey and Irma.
Well, that's funny because, you know, one of the radio programs we used to listen to all the time when I was growing up was Paul Harvey News. And Paul Harvey had a segment of his radio show, which was just like it was only a 10 or 15 minute monologue, basically, following the news at noon or something. But he had a segment of his show called The Tournament of Roses. And during this section of his news, he would highlight just 2 or 3 or 4 couples who had been together for a long time. And so 75 years, that is fantastic.
Yeah, Paul would have been on this one, that's for sure. And by the way, my grandma, believe it or not, was on Paul Harvey. She was known as the Snake Lady. She lived in Idaho, and they changed the route of a slough that was near her home, and it drove a bunch of snakes into her house, water snakes, and she fought those snakes, hundreds and thousands of them, for a couple of years, and everybody thought that it was going to drive Grandma from her house, and no, she beat the snakes, buddy, and Paul Harvey had her on to cover it. Pretty interesting.
That's a great story, Sav. I'd like to hear that one of these days, but...
Anyway, they had tsunami warnings in Mexico because of the massive 8.2 Richter scale earthquake that happened there. And again, the earthquake that struck just off the Mexico coast was bad. There's damage done. People died, and it's a disaster there as well. But again, they had a big tsunami warning, and I guess the tsunami to several countries did not hit. So, you know, there is a lot of the dodging of bullets that are taking place. There's a lot of good happening. There's good people. I've got people that I know in the middle of Houston involved in the cleanup effort as we speak. I've got friends and people in Florida that are involved in the cleanup and the efforts there. There's a lot of good happening. And every report that I have is, you know what? Miracles are happening everywhere. Good people are rolling up their sleeves. They see the light out of people, but they're giving encouragement. They're giving a squeeze on the arm or a hug or some food or some warm clothing. And just good people are doing good things everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. So I get the disaster. I understand it. And I think it's horrible. And I've been in a little bit of this. I'm not telling you that I'm an expert, but I'm not a stranger to it either. And I'm telling you, don't let the mainstream press just harp on the negative every second. Know that the private sector are doing good. The kindness of people. Oh, you know, we can pray real hard. We can serve. Be very careful where you donate money, because there's a lot of liberals and a lot of scammers out there that'll fleece you so fast your eyes can't even blink. However, there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doing a lot of good. There's plenty of good everywhere, and let's not lose sight of that in these difficult times, Lowell.
Absolutely right.
Hey, I got one for you guys. Here's one from CW33.com.
Yes,
it says, headline, woman named Irma gives birth to baby named Harvey. Yep.
That's
so I guess basically what happened, they couldn't get out of the house. You know, they had to, you know, they were stuck there, and basically they had a baby right there born at home. And the baby's fine, the mommy's fine, and Harvey
go.
And Irma are getting to know each other.
And I guess there's a lady, and I don't know if this is the same lady, but I guess she was, you know, at her house or whatever. She was going to have a baby, and she tried to call to get help, and the rescue people couldn't come get her. So the doctor got on the phone, and she delivered her own baby with the guidance of the doctor. And everybody's well there, too.
Well, that's encouraging. You know, Hurricane Jose is going to be coming along as well. And in fact, a number of the Caribbean islands were decimated by Harvey and Irma, and probably Jose by now. I mean, the Haiti was hit hard again, and then a lot of the Caribbean islands, the devastation's just...
And I don't mean to ignore the magnitude of this or act like it was no big deal. I don't mean to suggest that at all. What I do mean to do is give people a little bit of encouragement. The idea to be of good cheer, the idea to pray hard, those are the things that I kind of want to be in people's minds. When we get back, I'll give you a couple of tidbits on that. And then we want to talk about Ron Paul's incredible column relating to this as well, because we believe that's where the solutions are found. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Some are saying that the president's son-in-law has helped Senator Dick Durbin promote amnesty for children who've come into this country without documentation. Senator Durbin has long been a proponent of giving amnesty for, quote, the younger ones who were brought into this country as children by their immigrant parents. Jared Kushner, quote, arranged phone calls between Durbin and then Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly. Durbin was disappointed that the president had ended the program. Well, the California State Legislature says it will promote tourism and do as many other states have done, and that is help subsidize costs when Olympic Games don't turn a profit. Los Angeles is preparing for the 2028 Olympics, and the state will cover up to $270 million in overruns. The money is not being called a bailout, just the Olympic Games Trust Fund. Olympic Games tend to lose substantial amounts of money. For example, the people of Montreal had a debt of $1.5 billion left over after those games. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
You got it. And this is Solutions Radio. Lowell Nelson, Kurt Crosby, Sam Bushman, all on your radio talking about Irma. It's not near as bad as they made it sound. Some are saying they dodged a bullet. Some are saying the media overreported. I get the concern. I'd rather say safe than sorry. I agree with that view. But I had a speaker speak to me and many people for church yesterday. It was probably about 1 million people that heard the speech, I'm guessing. And I took some short notes on the speech, and I think it's relevant for today. The first idea is, where can I turn for peace? And the answer is, we can turn to God Almighty. The second one is, read the scriptures. Many would read the Bible. The Mormons would read the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We need to be of good cheer, even in difficult times, and know that there are no coincidences. The Lord knows of our difficulties. He's aware of us individually, and he still asks us to be of good cheer. Mighty prayers overcome apathy. You know, if you're feeling like you don't have a connection to God and you're feeling far away, prayer, not just a rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub kind of prayer. We're talking about real prayer, where you ask God in your heart for things, for safety, for security, for love, for peace, for comfort, for strength, for faith. Real, mighty prayers overcome apathy. And finally, what you choose to do when you're alone, what you choose to think when you're alone, is a strong measure of your virtue. And then he talks about the HOV lane. In Utah, an HOV lane is like a high occupancy vehicle lane where you can go and, you know, if you're alone in your car, you sit while all the people with high occupancy vehicles go by. We can debate that. It's a political issue. But set that aside for a second. And he redefined the HOV term. And he said, humility, obedience, and virtue, three attributes of Christ, are what we ought to focus on. And when we do, life gets instantly better. Where do I turn for peace? Turn to God Almighty. And that would be our first recommendation, whether you're in the storm or concerned about those who are in the storm. Don't let the light go out of your eyes. Turn to God, know that he's in his heavens and know that he will care for us. But one of the great ways he cares for us is he lets us care for one another. Anything to add to that real quick, Kurt?
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I mean that's good stuff, Sam. And right. I guess on the whole hurricane thing, one thing I haven't seen, and, you know, this has been the case in many times in the past, ladies and gentlemen, is that in impending disasters, or in other words, you know, a really rough, looks like a really rough flood, really rough thing kind of coming at you, has been changed, you know, at least by the power of prayer and the power of God. But what I'm seeing is, at least if anybody mentions it, for example, the Washington Post, they got a piece that says, what kind of crazy stuff do people, you know, blame this one on? And, you know, they talk about Gaia and a whole bunch of other stuff, but, you know, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we've seen it throughout history. There have been tough times when the people basically go against God's laws. And then when people return, then things are better. That's
all right.
Just
anyway,
how it is.
Amen to that. There you have it. Now, Ron Paul.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
I just wanted to comment about this conference yesterday. One of the funnest things that I liked about it was the comment that, you know, about prayer. He was saying, look, I have a cell phone here in my pocket, and I am able, via the cell phone, to talk to somebody, you know, 1,000 miles away, even though there's no connection, there's no cord, you know, connecting my phone to his phone. For some reason, I don't know how this how it happens, but he said it works, right? And so in the same way, he says, you know, we pray to God, and we don't know how it happens. We don't know how it's possible that God can hear your prayer and my prayer and the prayers of a million other people, but he said it works. And, you know, just because we don't understand something doesn't mean that it's not real or that it doesn't work. And I just love that aspect of the conference.
Great yesterday. Point, and the speaker highlighted that he didn't understand how the cell phone worked. There was no wires or anything else, and he didn't technologically isn't, you know, savvy to understand that. But he pointed out that, hey, just as the cell phone works, a man-made communication device communicating with God, oh, so much better, oh, so much more reliable, and works great. And yeah, it was a great conference. I just gave kind of the highlighted notes that I took about kind of the poignant points. And again, I think we need to remember that as a woman named Irma gives birth to a baby, names the baby Harvey, as kind of a reminder of the storm. And that it's not all negative. There's a lot of good that's happening. By the way, today is 9/11. They say they're celebrating 9/11. I don't celebrate such events. Nevertheless, our prayers are with the victims and the families of 9/11. It's a difficult time for many. And our prayer goes out to them. But I will delight in the J.J. Harvey raising over $30 million in the private sector. And speaking of that, Ron Paul has a column where he talks about government aid makes disasters worse. Lol.
You've heard the saying, Sam, I'm here from the government. No, they say I am from the government and I'm here to help, right? It's really laughable that yeah, anytime the government gets involved, then they generally make things worse. And so, you know, this is something that people don't think about very much. And so I think Ron Paul's column is very timely. And it's obviously, you know, the people in Houston appreciate the outpouring of support and relief from across the country. It's been fantastic. Millions have been donated. You know, food and relief materials are on their way into Houston as the rebuilding process begins, and then the federal government may pour in as much as $100 billion of your taxpayer money, right, in relief and recovery. Now, I view this as bad news, and I think Ron Paul views this as bad news that the government is going to pour in that much money. He clearly states, Sam, as he begins his column, federal disaster assistance hinders effective recovery efforts. and federal insurance subsidies increase the damage caused by natural disasters. Now, that's kind of a bold statement to make. But then he supports this statement as he recounts the history of federal government involvement in providing aid. He mentions Dave Crockett's experience that we mentioned last week. He talks about FEMA, which was created by President Jimmy Carter in 1979, very recently. He created it by executive order. Now, was FEMA necessary? No, of course not. Ron Paul, he says, quote, Americans somehow managed to rebuild after natural disasters before 1979. For example, the people of Galveston, Texas, successfully rebuilt the city following a major hurricane that destroyed the city in 1900. End of quote. And by the way, as I know because of my sightseeing visit to Seattle earlier this year, where I learned about the history of Seattle, the entire central business district of downtown Seattle burnt to the ground in June of 1889, amounting to
1989, right?
I'm sorry, 1889, yeah.
Oh, 1889, okay.
Yeah, 1889, so well over 100 years ago. The town was built basically on sawdust and wood, and it just went up in flames like a tinderbox, and the amount of damage was equivalent to $500 million of damage in today's dollars, and yet they rebuilt immediately and, of course, are thriving today. Seattle's a major metropolis, obviously. And then there's other examples that we could cite. You have people, like the massive earthquake in San Francisco, the 1906 earthquake, killed 3,000 people. The fire destroyed 80% of the city. Can you imagine that? Half of the 400,000 people who lived there were left homeless, Sam. 28,000 buildings wrecked. The city's population, however, returned, it dropped to 200,000 as people left, but within 3 years, the city's population returned to its normal 400,000, and over 20,000 buildings were rebuilt. Private aid poured in voluntarily, and now this is a fun little story about this. A small bank owned by Amedeo Giannini was ruined, but Giannini was able to rescue his gold and his securities, and the very next day, Sam, he opened for business on a wharf on the San Francisco Bay. His rapid response, his willingness to provide loans, all types of people after the disaster helped him gain the respect of the city. His bank, Sam, would eventually grow to be one of the largest in the nation today, the Bank of America. I just had no idea the Bank of America, came out of that situation. But look at the wonderful things that come out of a disastrous, a terrible situation. And yet, good people make good things happen, and it's always the private enterprises that make those good things happen, not the federal government.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, Kurt, Lowell on your radio. This is Liberty Roundtable Live with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. We report it like no other.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find the Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read the Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right. Former Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, spot on when he says government aid makes disasters worse. And you say, Sam, how can that be? Because, again, it's not the proper role of government. Now, we also recovered from the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, which was massive as well, too. And we can recover from disasters without government. In fact, it's much, much better if we do. I sure pray that Donald has the intestinal fortitude to say no, but I doubt it because they've already put $15 billion in. And it's only going to grow. They're now claiming between Harvey and Irma, it's going to take $300 billion to recover. And I don't think it's near that much. I think good, honest private sector people with rolling up their sleeves and working together. And the private sector could do much better. By the way, some of the Federal Reserve chairmen and leaders are saying, hey, you know, this rebuilding will be a boom for the economy. No, it won't. Instead of new goods and services, all people are doing is replacing what they once had. It's a disaster, folks. And the more we get government out of it, the more we use the private sector, the better. All right. Enough on that for now. Utah GOP Central Committee meeting happens Saturday. Lowell Nelson has the update. Lowell?
Well, thank you, Sam. As a member of that committee, I attended this quarterly Central Committee meeting on Saturday. It was one of our longer meetings, Sam. Went from 10 in the morning to about 4 in the afternoon. The committee held elections to seat members of the Executive Committee, the Audit Committee, and the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. Excuse me. But probably the main event there was the discussion of a resolution to abort the lawsuit that's on appeal to the 10th Circuit Court. For those of you who don't know, I realize this is a national show. But the state of Utah, the legislature in 2014 passed a law that required a political party to allow onto the primary ballot anybody who gathered signatures, enough signatures, regardless of what the party said about it. Now, prior to this time, since 1947 until 2014 in Utah, the party was able to determine its own nominees in the way that it wanted to do. And the way it had chosen to do so was by a caucus convention primary system. And by electing delegates in their respective precincts, those delegates would then choose the nominees of the party. Well, the legislature came along in 2014 and established what they called a dual track or dual path to the primary by allowing anybody to get onto the primary simply by collecting signatures, which, of course, if you have a lot of money, you can do so. And the people who are famous, meaning have a lot of name recognition, and who have a lot of money behind them, they can get onto the primary without going through the vetting process that's provided in the caucus convention system. And well, that's what happened in 2014. Now, the state party filed a lawsuit to protect their right to assemble, protect their right to choose their nominees in the way that they wish. And that was, I guess, the district court, the federal district court, ruled against them on that. And so the state party appealed to the 10th Circuit Court. Now, we are just a couple of weeks away from oral argument now. September 25th is the day set aside where the court is going to hear oral argument on this question. Now, typically, a court doesn't request oral argument if the case is you know cut and dried. And so, the fact that they're requesting oral arguments means that they think there's something here, and they think that probably it's going to be favorable to the party in this case. Now, and so there was a resolution that was proffered for this Central Committee meeting on Saturday, and this resolution, had it passed, would have aborted the lawsuit just the 2-3 weeks prior to oral argument. And there was a big effort by me and many, many others on the committee to defeat this resolution because, you know, after spending several hundred thousand dollars on a lawsuit, you don't want to get right up to the two-yard line or the half-yard line before the touchdown, you know, and say, okay, we're quitting, we're going to walk off the field. We wanted to continue the lawsuit, which we successfully did, Sam. The resolution was I believe, going to lose anyway, but someone adjourned the meeting before a vote on the resolution could be taken. And so, in other words, the party does want the lawsuit to appeal to continue. I view that as a good thing. In this case, I mean, I'm rarely in favor of litigation and stuff, but in this case, we are defending the right of the people to assemble and to choose their nominees in the way that they want. And so, in this case, I am in favor of this, the lawsuit appeal continuing. So I'm happy to report that we are pressing forward with the lawsuit, and oral argument is just a couple of weeks away. And then sometime in the days, weeks, or maybe months after that, the court will give an opinion, and I will be happy to report right here on Liberty Roundtable Radio the opinion that they gave and the implications, the ramifications of that decision. Now, the committee made several mistakes during the meeting. This is not related necessarily to the lawsuit, but I just wanted to mention them. I know that some of our listeners don't care much about the inner workings of party and so forth, but I wanted to mention these only because there are some listeners who are involved in a party, and it's important for anybody who's involved in a party to hold their party accountable to the rules, right? I mean, we need to follow the rules because then it's fair for everybody. And instead of being rule of men, you do rule by law. And that's one of the fundamental principles upon which our nation is based. And the more closely we, if you're a member of a party, the more closely we party members make ourselves adhere to the rules, you know, and the parliamentary authority and the rules of the organization, the more likely it is that we will hold our public servants accountable to the rule of law also, to the rule of the Constitution, to the proper role of government. That's really the bottom line. And we want to hold our public servants accountable to the proper role of government. And so the more we do that in our own meetings, as party meetings, the more likely it will be that we will hold our public servants accountable to the rule of law outside of these meetings. And so mistake number one in our meeting was the consideration of electronic method of voting in our meeting, right? In other words, some of the people in the meeting wanted to vote electronically. Well, turns out that our parliamentary authority, Robert's Rules of Order, forbids the use of electronic voting unless it's expressly allowed in our bylaws. Well, turns out that our bylaws don't expressly allow electronic voting. They don't even talk about electronic voting, and therefore, any discussion of electronic voting in our meeting was simply moot, Sam, and yet we wasted about 45 minutes of the meeting from about 11 to 12 o'clock, all talking about trying to get a discussion of electronic voting, get a demonstration of its capabilities and so forth, and all of it was simply moot. It was a total waste of time. Now, I am not against electronic voting if we can guarantee that the vote I cast was correctly recorded and aggregated. If those two things I can verify as a voter, I'm perfectly content and
but
happy.
That's impossible.
Well, I demonstrated on website in 2012, as we approached the convention of 2012, I demonstrated a way to verify electronic voting, both the recording of the vote and the aggregation of that vote, to determine that it was correct. And so I know it can be done, but we are not there yet. And so, you know, I'm not for electronic voting yet because we're not there, but I know it can be done in small meetings. I know it can be done even in a convention of 4,000 people because I demonstrated on my website how to do it. But it certainly wasn't the case yesterday because I think their server crashed about 11:45 or almost noon. You know, basically we moved forward as a committee saying, hey, we got to do this by paper ballot, this voting today on paper ballot because the server just cannot accommodate 180 people for some reason. So anyway, That was mistake number one. But the point of mistake number one is that if the bylaws don't allow electronic voting, then the parliamentary authority forbids its use. Now, number two mistake was our failure to get a correct tally for one of the votes that was taken. I don't remember which one it was right now. It's not important. But I was standing in the affirmative, Sam, and I counted 28 other people standing with me. And then when the negative vote was taken, people standing, there was about 20 people standing, maybe 23, 22, whatever. But when the chair announced that the motion was lost by a vote of 22 to 28, I was dumbfounded, Sam. And yet the announcement was not challenged, so the ruling stood. And I'm just saying, me and all the rest of the members of that committee, we need to learn how to correct that kind of a mistake. Mistake number three was our failure to take a roll call vote when 25% of the members present stood in support of the vote. That is expressly mentioned in our bylaws, and yet we mistakenly thought that it needed to be 25% of the members who were credentialed at the meeting. Now, there's 135 credentialed. Only 30 stood in support of the motion for a roll call vote, but at that time the people stood, there was only about 100 people in the room, and so we should have, the motion for a roll call vote should have been approved, but wasn't. So I mention these mistakes simply because I want committee members to be more aware and educated about the rules, and so that people, as I mentioned before, around the country, can those who are involved in their party can hold the party more accountable to the rules and laws governing the party. And if we'll do that, then we'll be able to require that our public servants more strictly adhere to the proper role of government as outlined in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and other founding documents, Sam. And, of course, that's going to result in more peace, more prosperity for ourselves and our posterity. Sam?
All right, there
imagine
you have it,
Lowell, imagine Lowell keeping the rules, keeping the commandments, keeping the rules of the political parties. I mean, you're just a guy that's kind of way out there, aren't you?
Far extreme.
It's like a domestic terrorist, white supremacist or something like that. And just crazy. But we commend you for your integrity of holding people to the rules and not being critical of others, but doing your very best to set the leadership an example. We need more of that in America, more of that around the world, and the more good, honest, wise servants we have who follow Christ as their master, the better off we are. Thank you, my friend, and Godspeed.
You are welcome, gentlemen. Thank you.
There he goes. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. Sam and Kurt, hour one in the can. Anything you can do to help us grow our presence in the media would be grateful for. Your financial support at libertyroundtable.com, and tell all your friends, just do all you can to grow the new media taking center stage, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure.